Please be seated. Stories told of a fellow who was on board a crowded subway. As he was standing in the aisle, someone bumped him from behind so violently that he fell to his knees. He got up angrily, and as he was turning around, he said, "Watch it, Buster. I know karate." And he turned around and saw this huge fellow standing there. And he stopped and he said, "I know karate and a lot of other Japanese words." And turned back around. Muhammad Ali once said, "When you're as great as I am, it's hard to be humble." Ted Turner said once, "If only I had a little humility, then I would be perfect." Most people agree that humility is an admirable trait and a virtue, but humility is hard to develop. Today's gospel deals with how one develops this particular virtue. Last week, you remember, the Lord told his disciples that he must suffer and die. This week, he's still talking about his betrayal, death, and subsequent resurrection. We are told the disciples did not really get it, but they were afraid to ask. So what did they do? They began to consider the question, which one of us is the most important? Which one of us is the greatest? And they began to argue about it. So what does Jesus do? First, he sits down. Why does the Bible mention that? Because this is Jesus going into rabbi mode. This is Jesus going into, "I'm going to say something really important" mode. And then he does say something so radical, so extraordinary, so outrageous, that frankly, we still do not believe it. He tells them that the one who desires to be in first place, the one who desires to be the most important, the one who has the most ambition to get ahead, that person must choose to go last. The person must choose to be the servant of everybody. The disciples were arguing about who is the most important, and Jesus tells them that to be really important in God's kingdom, one needs to look out for everyone else. Rather than worry about being served, and rather than worry about who thinks highly of you, you need to be concerned about how others are doing. And to push the parameters to the limit, he calls a little child to him. Now, in our society, children are important. We have stores devoted entirely to children. We have laws to protect our children. But in the first century, that was not this way. And that century in which Jesus and his disciples lived, children were the most insignificant. They were the least important. Even in medieval times, the Mediterranean cultures put a very low value on children. Thomas Aquinas, a very famous theologian, taught that if one's house was on fire and the man of the house was outside the house, first of all, in order of priority, he was to save his father if he was in the burning house, and then get his father out, and then go to his mother and get her out. After that, he could save his wife. And then if the house was still standing, he could go in and get his kids. The point is that children were beneath notice. Now, don't get me wrong. Parents still love their children. But they were socially at the very bottom level. So when Jesus takes and holds a little child, he's taking and holding a non-person, taking someone that doesn't matter in anyone's eyes in that society. What's the point he's trying to make? He's pointing out that his disciples need to be concerned about others, but not just others. Others, even the ones who don't matter in that society. D.L. Moody was the most famous evangelist in the United States in the late 1800s. People came from all over the world to attend his Bible conferences in Northfield, Massachusetts. One year, a group of pastors came from Europe to attend. They were given places in the dormitory of the Bible college. And as was the custom in Europe, these men set their shoes outside the door at night for the servants to come to clean and polish. Well, the Bible school didn't have any servants. And as Moody was walking through the hallways praying for the people who had come, he noticed all these shoes and knew why they were there. He mentioned this problem to a few of his students, but none of them offered to help. So without another word, this world-famous evangelist gathered up the dirty and muddy shoes and took them back to his own room, where he began to clean and polish each pair. Now, Moody told no one what he had done, but a friend happened to see his light on late at night and stopped by his room and saw him finishing polishing the shoes, and he helped him to finish. Years later, he told that story of what happened. The point here is that even though D.L. Moody was a world-famous preacher, he remained a man willing to serve, and not just willing to serve, but willing to serve anonymously. That was the key to Moody's greatness in the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis once said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." In other words, it's being more concerned about other people's problems than your own. When we look around us, there are always people worse off than we are, aren't there? Jesus said that if we want to be first in the kingdom of God, we must learn to be last. If we want to be great, we must learn to serve. And we must learn to serve when God's the only one who knows what we're doing and who knows who we're serving. And I suppose that's the question, isn't it? Do we really want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Or is it okay to be not so important? I mean, if I don't work really hard at being a servant to others, but I believe in Jesus, does that still work? How ambitious are we in the kingdom of God? How ambitious do we have to be? Like someone asked me a couple weeks ago, how much can I get away with and still get into heaven? It's a good question, isn't it? How hard do I have to work in this Christianity business? As in everything in Christianity, it's a matter of our hearts. Do we really love God? Do we really want to serve Him? Have our hearts been changed by His love for us? Have our hearts been changed by realizing that Jesus died for us? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard because on the one hand we know we ought to love God, but we don't always feel like it. We know we ought to serve God, but we don't always feel like serving God. And how important is it to be humble anyway? I'm sorry to have to tell you, but God thinks it's pretty important. And in fact, humility is one of the primary virtues of being a Christian. We cannot even receive God's mercy and grace without having humility, because we need to be able to admit we need God. We need to be able to admit we need His forgiveness. We need to be able to admit we need His help. Humility is a means of grace. That is, humility is one of those ways we receive favor and blessing and strength from God. We are told that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In the New International Version of our reading from James, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." If we are wise, we will develop humility. Pride, on the other hand, comes from foolishness. Jesus does call us to be ambitious. He calls us to be great and important in God's kingdom. But the way to be great and important in the kingdom of heaven is to think of others before ourselves. To be great in the kingdom of heaven, one needs to be willing to accept and serve others no matter who they are. So, indeed, let us be great in God's kingdom. Let us learn to serve Him and others with our whole hearts. Amen.